The following podcast may contain inappropriate language, sexual content, and spoilers. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Gonzo Dot Moe No Name Anime Show podcast show. Holy hell, Kyle. I am so warm right now. I'm sorry to everybody listening, all 30 of you.
You're warm.
The air conditioner is on. It's 69 degrees, but it nice. Somehow feels, yes, that is, of course, but it feels, I don't know.
Not like, so nice.
It does not feel that way in my apartment. It feels like it's 96 degrees. It's not great. But I haven't done this in a long time, so I'm sorry. Maybe I'll clean the noise up later. Speaking of that, I fucked up, Kyle. Last week, it wasn't the 69th episode, but it was the 69th item in our feed. So my bad. Apologies. Maybe this is punishment.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, that's exactly what's happening, right? This is, I mean, the parallels, 96 degree or 69 degrees, you know, this mistake, you were getting exactly what you deserved.
Every day I find new ways to make God cry. But this is an anime podcast. We record this whenever because I have no concept of time anymore.
You're back on the job. Everything's acceptable.
I'm going back to work on Monday, but I have not worked in a month and I don't set alarm clocks anymore. I don't look at calendars. As far as I know, it is Wednesday, and we're not late. I mean Tuesday, but in theory, we put this out on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. It is an hour-long discussion-type anime podcast. We talk about news reviews, Twitter questions, things you can use. I stole that. I say that every time that I stole it. I'm just waiting for them to come get me. It's on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. It's on Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handles are in the show notes if you read them, which you probably do not. You also don't leave us voicemails, which is very disappointing, but you can do that at 716-46-MOE-43. That's 716-466-6343. Kyle, I have great news.
Ooh, hit me.
So, as you know, we have been living in a dark time. We have been living in the post-Yashihime world, and
Who could fill those shoes?
Yashihime can fill those shoes.
Oh, well, that makes sense, yes. So Google on.
It's going to be one of the shortest eras in the history books because Yashihime is coming back, but in manga form. I guess if I spoke Japanese, I would have already had this, but fortunately, that is no longer an obstacle because it's coming out in English later this month, I believe June 21st. I don't know. It's going to be available digital and in print. I have not decided how I want to take my poison quite yet.
Straight up.
You asked me earlier before we did this recording, before I pushed the button, am I excited or am I dreading more Yashihime? And I told you that it's painful, but it's a good kind of pain. I would liken it to, you know, when people like getting their ass slapped.
Like real hot sauce. Like it hurts. Kind that's like, it's just pain.
Or
like
hot sauce, no enjoyment. Yes. If we want to make a less erotic analogy, or like hot sauce, it hurts, but in a good way. Not written by Takahashi, but she is, I don't know, probably getting a paycheck. She's listed as a consultant. It is being written and drawn by Takashi Shina, who I was not super familiar with, but I recognize a lot of these series that they have done. Go Seeper Mikami, which was, I believe, one of the earlier OVAs that ADV put out. I don't want to say it's the first one, but I think it was within their first like couple of years. And then also Zettai Karen Children, which they released as Psychic Squad. And then the spinoff, which, as it turns out, is about the villain, called Ultimate Psychic Squad. Unlimited Psychic Squad. And I thought to myself, there sure is a big gap between Zettai Children and Yashihime. What the fuck has this person been up to? And I was wrong, because Zettai Children wrapped up like 2 years ago.
Yeah, it turns out it ran for 16 years.
Oh my God. But I'm really hoping that it's not just a one-to-one adaptation of the anime. The head writer from the anime is also working on this as like a consultant. I don't know if they're writing the scripts or just like approving them.
Very least it should look different.
That, yes, it will look a little different. I, even though the script writer is a lunatic and probably belongs in some type of prison, I'm happy that they're on board because that's exactly, I need more like spaceship butterflies and time portals that we send evil meteorites through. I need more fighting in space with astral projections of foxes. That was like the craziest show ever.
And, yeah, I just did not know when to stop. And thank you for that. No seatbelts on this ride.
I'm really disappointed that it is over, though. And that's maybe part of why I stretched out my experience with it so much. I have said before that I watched it in a hotel room in upstate New York with the worst internet. It probably would have been easier to just not connect to the internet. That would have been faster. And it took me like 3 days to watch the last two episodes. And I'm realizing now that maybe that's like when you drive home slowly after having a really good night. You just don't want it to be over yet. I'm all full of analogies today. I tried to watch a show. Imagine that. I actually watched anime today.
What? We watched anime this week?
Oh my God. I watched a lot of garbage, so I'm trying to stall so we don't have to talk about it. The first thing that I attempted to watch was called Summertime Rendering. And this is because Erica Friedman did a review for it on Anime News Network and rated it very high. And I thought, Erica Friedman, she's usually really, picky about the stuff that she likes.
Right.
And so if she's rating the show as like a, hey, you should check, or the manga, she reviewed the manga, sorry. If she's saying that the manga is worth reading, I imagine the show is probably also worth checking out. I think I went to try to buy the manga and it was sold out, which is a good sign. But as it turns out, it's on Disney Plus. And it was unclear to me whether it was on Disney Plus only in Japan or not. I could not find a definitive answer.
Yeah, Disney's not great about that with anime so far.
Yeah, and I'm not giving
them... They're not as bad as Amazon either.
Oh,
so.
My God. I refuse to give them my $7.99. I guess I have to eventually if I want to watch this. It's supposed to be pretty good. It's about a bunch of mysterious deaths, and this guy tries to solve them with the ghost of one of the people that was probably murdered. It sounds like a good time, and of course, if Erica thinks it's good, then it probably is good.
Just definitely a bit disappointing going from the manga art to the anime art. Like, I'm not saying it's a major difference, but if you look at it, like, they're much more generic anime versus the manga art, which like I really like a lot. That's always a little bit sad.
Yeah, it's... I've gone through that before where you're like, oh, this isn't what I signed up for. But
this is closer than a lot, but like the manga art has a, like, there's a really unique flavor to it. I like how the... I think I'm going to check out this manga now based on your recommendation at least. So anyways, you were not certain...
Yeah, I don't know. This. So I didn't want to just give Disney $8. They have enough $8 already. I ran into a similar problem with a manga called Heavenly Delusion. So this is a manga that Denpa is putting out. I guess friend of yours and acquaintance of mine. That's Ed Chavez's company, isn't it?
Yep, and the best. Used to be over at Vertical, now he's over at Denpa.
So this is... kind of confounding. I wanted to get it just because I saw they put out a new volume. And I'm like, Denpa only puts out good stuff because it's such a small operation that Ed like curates it. At least that's what it looks like from the outside looking in. Everything I see in their catalog and the few things I've read are excellent.
Yeah, it's a very, because like you said, not a lot of, like, also it's really hard right now with paper shortages and things to actually print things, like in all of the, you know, publishing industry. So, and of course, much smaller budget, but you know, they do have some good gems. Like I know they're publishing Gundam Sosei and other things.
Inside Marie is really good.
Yes. I really like that.
And they do a lot of, oh goodness, I should know this person's name. The author of that, they put out a lot of their work. And they're like an offshoot of Faku, aren't they?
Yeah, they're like the quote-unquote legit part of Faku.
It is kind of funny that this like prestige line of manga is like a spin-off of a porn company. But, you know, that's how it goes sometimes. So Heavenly Delusion, the summary to that is interesting to me because it kind of feels like Gurren Lagann. It's about a bunch of people that are like living in like an isolated area. They're not allowed to leave. They try to leave and then they, you know, they search for heaven or, you know, whatever Kamina was doing. And I understand that this is not going to be the exact same thing, but anything that reminds me of Gurren Lagann is good in my book, except Star Driver. That was bad.
But no, I haven't seen Star Driver yet, but I do agree with your comment. I also like Gurren Lagann, so I'm down for anything that's in that vein.
Star Driver almost made me give up on life.
That bad?
Because a bunch of people were like, this is like the best. It's just like Gurren Lagann. I'm like, okay, I'll check it out. There's robots with sunglasses, probably. I think that's what it's about. And I watched the first episode, and it physically hurt me.
And I, but as far as you made it one episode and that was like too painful.
I couldn't watch anime for a while because I was so upset. I went through a phase for a while where anime hurt me. And I know that sounds like an insane thing to say out loud, but there's this concept in psychology called cognitive dissonance. Mm-hmm. And it's that feeling of discomfort that you like. It's kind of like a conscience thing. I don't know if I'm explaining it properly, but it's like a discomfort that you feel when you're doing something that you think you should be doing, I believe. And that was one of the times where I felt a really tangible version of that. Anyway.
I'm hope that passed, and I hope that you're now, you know, you've put it behind you and you're watching anime without those sad memories.
I'm going to look up a definition of that because I should really know what that is. Cognitive dissonance is the theory in social psychology where there's a mental conflict between a person's behavior and their beliefs not aligning. So yeah, kind of, I was almost there. I was 70% there. So something I did do that was really good, and we're going to make an exception for it because somebody drew it. That counts as anime, right? Yeah. I went to see the Bob's Burgers movie and it was excellent.
Yeah, I also saw it. So I'm really glad. So what'd you think?
When you told me, you're like, hey, you know, all of the money went into the animation budget, like the story is whatever. That is a fairly accurate assessment, I would say. Because like, it did just feel like a long episode, but it was a very pretty long episode.
Really pretty.
You know, just like tons of fluid motion, tons of shading. The sound design was better. I might be out of my mind, but I thought that the voiceover might have been better recorded or better mixed. That could have just been because I was seeing it in a theater and not my TV. But it sounded warmer to me, which was really cool. And just
of
like,
of course, so many musical numbers.
Yes. Oh my God. I don't know about you, but it took me a while to get used to seeing them moving so much.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's literally shots where they'll show, well, they'll start off on maybe a typical view of the Bob's Burger house, and then like the camera will move around and you realize that it's a 3D space and you go, what? Like, this is a real place? Like, that's, there's something at the end of the street?
Well, and the credits were so long. Oh my God.
I mean, for the record also, this, for those who were not unaware, this movie was delayed several times.
Yeah.
It was, I think, originally supposed to come out in, I think, either 2019 or 2020.
Yeah, I think you're right. I thought it wasn't going to come out because I read that it was on indefinite hiatus. And then
yeah.
I got surprised by the trailer, I think when I saw Jujutsu Kaisen.
Right, and it just kind of, I literally forgot that it had come out. I was just in, I was around a theater on Saturday and my movie plans had fallen through. And I went around the corner to the other theater around the corner and it was just like, oh, Bob's Burgers. And I'm like, oh, I guess I'll see that instead. But I've also seen a lot of people who are just like, there's a Bob Burgers movie out right now? Question mark.
Yeah, it was, I read, I don't know if this is true, but I read that it had like a $70 to $80 million budget. That seems outrageous. I can't, like, I need to see that on like a real website to believe that. Because that's a big budget for like a live action film. So for a Bob's Burgers movie, that seems outrageous.
Especially because like for those who are also just like, this is very Bob's Burgers. So like for me, like, for example, the musical numbers, like at this point, if you're watching Bob's Burgers, we're at what, season 12?
Yeah, I believe they're most of the way through season 12.
So like if you're watching right now and you've seen every season up till now, this is very much just like great Bob's Burgers. Musical numbers, like you love those by now. Like if you didn't like musicals, you would not be watching Bob's Burgers at this season. They're very common at this point. But like it's so well done.
Lots of
callbacks. And they really do. Firstly, like they, I believe that like long, long list of animators, they really went all out on, and it's funny because like the presentation of the, like the musical, it's a very stage-like musical. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of scenes where it's like a straight on shot of like three lines deep of people doing a choreographed dance. But then there are moments where they definitely like the camera will go up and it's like a crane shot. And we're at a, you know, very high angle looking down at like Louise dancing around a circle of like dancing, gyrating people who are maybe circus bums.
Yeah. She was hardcore dancing at one point, which was incredible.
Yes. And you know, we get a lot of like, nice recurring, you know, like they'll, oh, like this becomes a musical motif that we revisit. And it's like, and there's even one point where I think the villain just like decides kind of on the spur of the moment to have his own musical number, but it's not like a musical number. It's very much like, I'm one guy and I'm going to sing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to dance. And he does it well, but it's not like, you know, like people come out of the woodwork and start dancing and singing like him.
Yeah, it was awkward, but I think it was supposed to be awkward.
Oh, yeah, it's like I was cackling in the theater through my mask. Just be careful. My theater was really loud, like really loud.
I brought the sound system.
Yeah, I mean, that's a problem with a lot of movie theaters now. I made sure I have things called fader earplugs, which cut out like 15 decibels or 15 to 20 decibels, I think. But like they're not actual earplugs, so it's not like any, you know, you're not like, it's not muffled. It literally just like cuts off the noise a little bit.
Oh, that's interesting.
And even with those, it was kind of too loud. So everyone protect your hearing. And Bob's Burgers, for the record, it was animated a lot in, there's a lot of Korean names on the animators list. So, and to be fair, a lot of anime is, I think, animated in Korea too. So kind of anime.
It's the backdoor exception. Do you know how much a normal episode budget is? I tried to find this information and I couldn't do it.
I don't know, but I mean, it's a pretty, like it's a nice looking show, but also it's like a, it looks, Bob's Burgers is not pushing any.
Yeah, they reuse a lot of animation in the show.
And of course, like it looks like it's done in something like Flash. Like it's not like, you know, hand animated cells or anything. But, a lot of savings.
Yeah. So highly recommended. Definitely not anime, but I feel like most of the people that listen to this show also watch that. And so if you were thinking about going to see the movie, I think you should.
Yeah. And you don't need any prior knowledge. It's from the beginning. It lets you know, like, this is what Bob's Burgers is about.
It helps. But yes, you are correct. If you've seen most of the show, there's a lot of references and like fan service, but yeah, I mean, if you go in and you don't know who anybody is, it's pretty straightforward. It's not like a, I don't know, what's a good example? Like the, isn't the Nadesco movie like a direct sequel that wraps up the TV show?
I think that might be the case. I haven't seen it.
Well, so moving on, we got a couple questions from Twitter. I don't know how to answer either of them. So from UFO Canada, they asked us to talk about cutest chibis.
Yes, they really like chibis.
I don't watch anything that does that. That was a big trend in like the 90s and early 2000s. Not a lot of things do that anymore, except the like weird spin-off specifically. Like Uma Musume has like chibi Uma Musume, but I don't watch it because it's bad.
Yeah, and I have to admit, I am not, this is going to break Kyle's heart, but I am also not really into chibis. Just not my thing. You know.
I'm going to say the Eye Catch and Yu Yu Hakusho. That was peak chibi. That's as good as it gets. We'll also say Fushigi Yugi as a whole, maybe.
You know, I mean, there's entire series. I mean, I'm thinking of SD Gundam, right?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Like they're not cute, but they are technically cuter than a regular Gundam.
They are super and deformed, though. I'll allow it.
True story.
I was so mad about SD Gundam when that came out. This kind of ties into what we're going to talk about later. But I was so salty because I think, I want to say it was like Yu Yu Hakusho and Dragon Ball and Kenshin and maybe Cyborg 009.
Right, and that stuff's all cool.
And then they're like, we're going to swap it out with SD Gundam. Like, what? Like, I didn't like Gundam anyway. I'm sorry, Tom. I didn't like
Sorry,
Gundam.
Kyle. I also remember my name is A New Type Century
and
on Twitter.
That is fair. You are a Gundam guy. I think G Gundam was on. I like G Gundam.
Yeah.
But then they replaced it. Wasn't that like a CG? Like, I.
Oh, yeah. No, I know what you're talking about. It's. I feel so bad. I'm a bad Gundam guy, apparently, because I cannot remember. But I know what you're talking about. There's the live action Gundam thing. Yeah.
The less said about it, the better. The other question we got is
like G Savior or something.
We don't speak about G Savior. Jesus. We got another question. This is from Otaku Crack. With Birdie Wing pivoting its story to school style show, will your team follow up the anime? Follow the anime? I don't know. Probably. I have only watched 2 episodes of Birdie Wing. It's really good. I don't know. I get distracted. I've had a month and I haven't watched anything, and I'm sorry. I don't have a good excuse for that.
Okay. I think we'd have to like pry Noel away though. So, you know, with like put him in lock and barrel and just throw away the key to keep him away from Birdie Wing.
Oh, to keep him away from Birdie Wing.
So well, I think if no matter what, I think Noel's on board for the long haul. He's going to cover everything.
Oh, but, for sure.
But you know, feel free to correct me, Noel, if you disagree with anything I have said.
I don't think he listens to this podcast. He just records it. He's like a live musician. Like, I don't go to shows. I perform them. Fair. Here's how little of an excuse I have for not watching anime. Yesterday, I think I spent like 2 hours like working on my guitars, like doing just boring guitar maintenance, like taping things off and scrubbing things. So I could have been watching anime, right? I chose to watch New Girl and cry.
New Girl?
Oh my God, this fucking show. New Girl was a sitcom from, I don't know, the mid-2000s. It wrapped up maybe 5 years ago, starring Zoe.
Was that the Zoe Deschanel
Zoe one? Deschanel. Don't say her name that way again.
Did I say it incorrectly?
No. You just said it like, oh, her.
No, I just wanted to make sure that I was talking about the right one.
I'll have you know that she left Ben Gibbard for me. No, that's just a dream I had. So I watched most of the show a few years ago and really enjoyed it. So I've been revisiting it while playing guitar because I'm like, I've already seen this. I don't care what this is about. And then I always get invested in it. And then it has this way about once every 15 episodes, they do something really sad. And I just lost control. It was not my proudest moment, but you know what? She had a really cute birthday party and I couldn't help myself.
Look at you, you little softy.
I watched a lot of garbage. Kyle, let's talk about something good first, though. You watched Toy.
Yes. I have to let people know, I literally just finished Toy, like I think a minute before we recorded the podcast.
Nice.
For those who don't know, it's a 80s OVA about, I guess it's like about rockers, right? Like, but it's about the divide between kind of the fake, you know, manufactured, very corporate driven, like, I guess idols, but it's not like idols like you're thinking of. It's not like a couple of, you know, like a choreographed team of like boys and girls. Like it's like very much like a cool 80s guy, but versus Toy and his kind of like grungier group of, you know, who are real, right? And they're not owned by the man. And I've heard it's good for a long time. Like I think that you had the same reaction when I told you I'd seen it.
That it's good? What?
Yeah, you were like, I told you I'd watch Toy, and you're like, oh man, like Toy. I've been hearing that's great for years. That's as long as I've been meaning to watch it.
Oh yeah. Well, because Gerald talked about it on AWO forever. I don't know if he reviewed it, but that's where I first heard about it. And I've had a fan sub of it sitting on a hard drive so long that I think it's come out on Blu-ray since.
Yeah, there is a Blu-ray rip, which is how I saw it. It is immaculate. I know that there are reasons why we're unlikely to get this in the US. For example, there's a like one of those throw it away and forget it, like 2 or 3 second long sequences in the film where we see a line of like summer festival masks, but it's like, I don't know, Ultraman and Super Mario and just like a bunch of licensed characters that like I'm certain they don't have permission for. No. But it was the 80s, you know, and that's what all OVAs had. Just like put some shit in there. You know, we'll worry about the licensing rights never. Right? Just slide it on under the under everyone's awareness. But anyways, this movie's, again, I had also heard that it was great. And it has also been sitting on my hard drive for years. And for some reason, I was just like, you know what? I finished the PlayStation State of Play and I have like an hour. And like, I think that's how long Toy is. So let's go give it a go. And people, do not sleep on Toy. That is one of the best, that's like literally might be the single best OVA I've ever seen.
Jesus.
It is so good. The music, so like the whole OVA, it's like one long collage of music videos, one after the other, is like the only way to put it. Like they'll have, like, it'll start off like in the first 5 minutes, they'll develop like a nice visual motif, right? So you see Toy. And everything about like the first 5 minutes is he keeps on being put into these spotlights and it's all this black empty space around him. Right. Except for that kind of bright spotlight, but it's like a natural spotlight and he can walk in and out of it whenever he wants. Right. Like it's open frame and he's just so free. And it's not like it's not like anyone is putting that spotlight on him, quote unquote. It's just like, the universe is putting that spotlight on him. Like everywhere he goes is a stage and he just like can't help but being this star that everyone has their eye on. And then we go to this like cool rocker who's like an idol. And he is, you know, delivering his music in a kind of like a recording studio, but it's like, you see a whole crew of guys with cameras on him and he might be cool, but it's not effortlessly cool, right? It's very much like, he's part of the machine. Oh my gosh. And look at how he's hemmed in, right? The guy's all about spotlights and circles and openness. But he's just like in a studio with like surrounded on every side by walls and by just like artificial sheens and blah, blah, blah. And that's all developed visually. And we hear like a few songs during this, but it's not like the characters, despite this being an OVA about singers, like we don't actually hear them sing. Like it's other singers music that's overplayed over like what's happening. And it throws, like, I swear they used every single visual trick that existed in the 80s. Like you'll see them do like crossfades and dissolves, and you'll see them do like just like over, you know, just like, I don't know, like it's just crazy. Like every single effect that they could do, they do it over the course of this 50 minutes. And again, I'm like, that's really cool. And I'm like, I wonder how they're going to develop this. And they do, but it just becomes like a running, like smaller motif. And then the next 5 minutes are like a totally different style. And then even within those minutes though, like it keeps on, like you'll get some scenes where it's like, oh, like the whole background is pencil shaded. And then we go to I think it's called Geikli or Geikli. It's a type of like paint on like plexiglass. And so like every single moment your eyes are just like, oh, like I've never seen this before. This is so cool. Look at how they're like pulling out the camera and like pulling this like really cool trick. And oh my gosh, it turns out that this open-ended space that looks like it's from the Take On Me music video, turns out that's actually a cage. And all of the music is just like absolute bops that right now are still stuck in my head. Again, though, but like, it's not like the characters are singing. And the whole thing is just like, I don't even know, like, it's not necessarily the greatest story, but like, it's how it's told. It's just all visual storytelling. It just feels like you're looking at a visual collage of new styles all the time. And I love it. Like, I wish that more people saw this and just like got as excited as I got, because you cannot sleep on this, JP. I'm telling you. Like, I think that you just said you were the guy who just spent yesterday working on your guitars. Like,
yeah.
You got to watch Toy.
I'm looking at the studio that made this, Gallup.
They have a very, very silly IMDb, for lack of better words. So they did Touch, it looks like, which I hear is very good.
Mitsuru Adachi, right?
Yes.
It's Touch, that's the, like, he's the sports manga guy, but he doesn't actually do sports manga. His are like, they're usually like school romances and things that are dressed up in sports.
They also did Kenshin. But I think what's very, very funny is that what happened, the same thing happened to the people that ended up working on Pokemon. They started working on a kid's like merchandised franchise early on, and that's all they've been doing since. They've been doing just about every Yu-Gi-Oh! They did Duel Monsters, they did GX, they did 5D, Zexal, Arc, Vrains.
I feel like, what, the character from Planet of the Apes, like, you killed it, you bastards! Oh, yeah.
As late as 2019, they've been Yugin' it up, dog.
And it's crazy, too, because if you watch it, like, the whole thing, it honestly feels very close to something like the Vampire Hunter D. Like, it almost looks like you're looking at like Yoshitaka Amano art.
Oh, that's cool.
Right? So to hear that they moved from this, and by the way, like, the hair and everything is so good. Like, there's a character in this who, there's like a female character who's kind, like, it's weird. Like, everything, all the relationships are fuzzy. Like, there's a girl who you think is his girlfriend, but it might be his girlfriend, but it also is probably just his cousin. And they're just really, really close.
Sometimes you have to.
but then there's, he has like a girlfriend who dresses identically like him, but she also is like a cat girl.
Yeah. I guess that just wasn't paying the bills. To be fair, it was, because this came out October 1st, 1987, which I'll have you know is 2 days away from me being 6 months old. Yu-Gi-Oh! Came 13 years later. So they had some time to find their footing before selling out.
Yeah, I mean, they had a good run. But you know, watch it. It's so well animated. I mean, literally, even just the end, during the end credits, there's there's two shots. There's like a little, like almost a periscope or like a telescope effect of like a little circle, and they just have one of the characters from it animated, but it's a very realistic animation style, and it's just her dress swaying in the wind. And then it switches halfway through, and then it's the picture of that same girl walking with the main character Toy. And it's just very realistic animation, and the music that plays during it was giving me such like oh man, this is so good. And I don't have 80s nostalgia, but like, I have this nostalgia now.
I think we're like, too young to have so 80s good. Nostalgia, Kyle.
I know, I was born in the 90s, but I'm saying watching this is like pure concentrated like cool 80s, but without any of the like, let's put it this way. This isn't like Back to the Future nostalgia. This is just like, oh my God, look at these outfits.
Well, it sounds like it's a good time, and you recommend it fully. If people want the Blu-ray, they might not be able to. It looks like that was a limited run. It came out June 30th, 2021. So I don't know. There's probably used copies available.
Discotheque, rescue it.
Oh my God, that'd be great. I know they would, because Justin's a big fan of Toy.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure that they can't because of rights. Again, the 80s, man. Just go hog wild.
Well, I watched a lot of trash. So, I don't know. I guess I'll go chronologically. So, what was it, last week or the week before? I watched the first episode of a show called RPG Real Estate, and we just didn't get around to it, fortunately for you, listener. But now it's time. RPG Real Estate, I believe, is currently airing. It's also not great. It's one of those, it's part of the trend where like I'm to believe that this is actually happening, but they play by RPG rules, you know,
hey,
indicated by the fact that they're place is called RPG Real Estate, but there's no video game being played. So this, according to the summary that I got off Wikipedia, this is 15 years after the Demon Lord was defeated and the world is peaceful. That is starting to become a common set piece, I've noticed, because
yeah,
there's a show coming out, I think, later this year or next year called, like, Level 1 Demon and Fucking Guy in the Apartment. I don't remember what it's called. But also Frerin, I want to say, is a manga, maybe, that is about this as well. RPG Real Estate, not great, though. It is just a bunch of, like, I don't...
Just like a weird set piece that surrounds it and is basically unrelated.
Well, I don't know how to put this politely. It felt like I might have been watching thinly veiled child porn.
Oh, so that kind of backdrop.
Because it like wasn't erotic in any way, but all the characters looked super, super young and it's still doing like panty shots and shit. Like, I can't do this. But also the story's bad, which I guess if that's your thing, maybe you're not into it for the story, but fucking hell. Not redeemable in any way. Well, there was one funny joke in the episode. There was one funny joke. So you know how in RPGs, like, you just walk into people's houses and look through their shit?
Yeah.
They made a joke about that. Because, like, the first episode is about the main character trying to get an apartment. She also works at the real estate agency. But the whole first episode is her trying to get an apartment. She's like, I don't have a whole lot of money. And she lists, like, some laughably low monthly rent that she's looking for. And they're like, well, we have a couple. They're like, we've got this one. It's at the, like, top of this tree that's actually, like, on the way to the final boss. So, like, that's maybe not great. And you also have to deal with all these monsters. You know, we've got this other one that's, like, inside a volcano or whatever.
Right.
And then they had a you know, relatively normal-looking house. She's like, oh, well, this one's kind of nice. And they're like, well, the catch is that every once in a while, adventurers will come in and just look through your shit, and you have to be okay with that. And I thought that
okay.
was... So it was redeemable in one way, in that that joke was funny. But I'm going to give that a big no. Don't watch RPG Real Estate. It was painful. It made me uncomfortable. It should have also been one of those two-minute shows. I think it could have maybe worked if it wasn't creepy and it was short.
Right. I mean, that's the thing, right? I mean, you know, if it was, like you said, like a two-minute, just like quick, you know, like gag, yeah, move on with your life.
The base premise is silly. I don't know why they need to set it in an RPG world. Like, you could just say that it's a generic fantasy world. You know, it's just about, like, I don't know, fairies and demons that are working at a real estate agency. Like, I'm on board with that, but don't be weird about it. So today I sat down and I said, self, you have not watched anything in weeks. The last thing I watched was RPG Real Estate like 2 weeks ago. So I'm going to actually try to watch something because I keep coming to the show without a plan.
Which is not, me too, which I admit is not great because I don't know if you noticed, JP, but this is an anime and manga podcast.
This is what happens to these shows, though. You start off and you're all full of, like, jubilance and you're feeling
jubilance.
Vigorous.
I love it.
And other words that are impressive.
They're definitely real words. Got it.
You know, it's... I can't think of any more. There's cascades of prodigiousness. I don't know. That's a callback. So I watched, I picked this off my shelf because I have a problem with buying things and I have a lot of stuff that I should not have bought because sometimes things are $5 and I can't help myself. So this is one of those. This is from the Most Dangerous box. We did an episode on that a couple months ago. So I finally got around to that and I picked up this one called the Castle Dandelion Town. And I don't know why I bought this. I don't have an excuse.
Yeah, I see a blushing redheaded girl.
Okay,
surrounded
maybe,
by like stuff.
Maybe that's why. We'll say the quiet part out loud.
Oh, but she's surrounded by like security cameras.
Yeah.
So yeah, what's that about?
Sometimes you want a camera. So this show is awful. I think I paid like $7 for it, and I might have been really high. So I don't recommend going on Right Stuff while smoking weed. This show is about a family of technically royalty, but you would not know if I didn't say that. It's just a normal fucking household. There's just a lot of kids. Their dad is the king of Dandelion Town, or presumably that's what it's called. But it really doesn't play into anything because the show is just shenanigans. It's just normal animanigans, however you want to parse that. And the catch or whatever, not the catch, like the hook, is that there's all these surveillance cameras. But even then, that didn't really play into. I watched two episodes before I think I fell asleep. So this also works great as a sleep aid. It's right up there with Bubble.
Seems like it's doing a lot. Like it says, oh, they have superpowers and she wants to get rid of the security cameras.
I didn't know they had superpowers when I put this in. So halfway through the episode, one of the characters just flew to school. I was like, Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, especially because it says that this is just 12 episodes. That's a lot. Like, honestly, just like if they wanted to properly tackle just the camera subject or the royalty subject, like that's like 12 episodes by itself.
Yeah, it looks like I'm saying the name wrong. My bad. Castletown Dandelion. Dandelion. Yeah, it's Dandelion. I'm going to venture to say that that's not true because the opening shot is that of a dandelion. Being really subtle with their metaphors. I guess it's not a metaphor if it's called Dandelion Town. So they're going to have an election to see who's going to be the next king. They say king and queen in the plot summary I got on Wikipedia, but they do not say queen in the show. They're like, you could be the next queen, king, my daughter. You want to be king? She's like, I guess. I don't know. Can I get rid of the fucking cameras? It's one big panty joke, which, don't let me complain, because at least they're, I don't know, the character design.
Can't even say that with a straight face.
I can't do it. I don't know. Nothing about this show was notable. And the way that they try to figure out who's going to be the next king is they do Squid Games where you don't die. What do you call just sports now?
Sports, huh?
Like I wasn't paying full attention. I was fixing a guitar, but they had to like put stuffed animals in a bucket, and the flying character kept flying, but not too fast, otherwise we'd see her underwear.
Wow. So it's like a game. It's just like game show tasks.
The first two episodes, yeah, were like that, and I don't have anything. I don't know what I watched. You know, like, you ever watch a show and you just like, you don't feel time moving? Like, it all just went in one ear and out the other. I thought like, okay, maybe this will be, I don't know, worth something. I might just throw it out because like, I'm not going to be able to sell this. I should have just not purchased it in the first place.
I don't know. There's probably someone you know. I mean, maybe give it away. Take it. Not that I'm saying, well, just, you know, like,
I'll it send it to
like
you.
Something Noel might watch. I don't know.
Oh my God. Noel, I hope he has better taste than this. He's too busy watching Rent a Girlfriend to watch Castletown Dandelion. He's not watching Rent a Girlfriend. It's Domestic Girlfriend. They're probably the same show. Jesus.
Probably Rent a Domestic Girlfriend, to be fair. So I get it.
I mean, this show probably has similar amounts of misogyny. So. Then I thought, okay, why don't I spice things up a bit? So I tried to watch, oh God, I think it was called like Heroines Run This City. I got about 3 minutes into that.
3 minutes?
I turned it off. Heroines Run the Show. I was really close. I rewound the first five minutes of this show no less than 5 times. I kept getting distracted. And I think because it was subtitled, there might have been an English version. I didn't know how to. Crunchyroll's new version, or the version that they've switched to forever ago, and I just have never used it until now, it wasn't super clear to me how to change languages. but I did not find that out while watching this. So I don't know what to tell you. I watched a high school girl run five times, and then I turned it off. So I guess if you're into running, you could put the first couple minutes on loop as a encouragement. I
feel like you're running forever, or maybe not running at all.
Yeah, it's one of those two things. So then, like, all right, we got to watch something awful, because like these other things are just generic awful. They're not notable in any way. I can't.
Yeah, that's the worst kind. Like, you want a strong flavor. You don't want to have just like beige.
Yeah. Now that I've had Yashahime, it's going to take a lot more to stimulate me. I'm sorry. So I watched.
Not really carefully about that word choice, did you?
Nope, I picked that one on purpose. I watched three episodes, possibly two, I don't know, of a show called Trapped in a Dating Sim, The World of Otome Games is Tough for Mobs.
What?
And I was really hoping to get something terrible. And it was also just dreadfully generic. This is about a guy who apparently his name is Leon Faux Bartfort. I don't think that's his real name. That might be his isekai name, because, you know, the show starts in Japan. He's playing a video game and then he dies and wakes up in, you know, medieval world, Renaissance time, whatever. So I don't know if they set his name in, you know, that universe.
The conceit is that it's a fancy world, but it's like an Otome game.
The setup was kind of funny. Like, I had hopes for this when I first turned it on, because it was just a really like snarky, cynical guy playing a dating sim for the first like 5 minutes of the episode. And it reminded me of, like, if I'm playing like a video game I don't like, or watching a show I don't like. So he's sitting there like, oh yeah, big fucking surprise, you're the main character. Oh, there's robots, how original. I thought that was really funny. He somehow gets conned into playing this game. He doesn't want to play it. And so he plays this dating sim because his sister told him to. And I don't know, she had some dirt on him. So he had to, I don't know what she gets out of this, because she left town. I think she just wanted to know what the ending was, but you could have Googled that. Anyway, he plays through the game, and then he goes out to get a snack. And I thought, all right, this is going to be when he gets hit by a truck, because it's always a truck.
Trucks, man.
And
I betcha.
I will give this show credit, because he didn't get hit by a truck. It was much more obtuse than that. He just passed out and woke up in the other world.
He just, like, what?
he like gets up to go, I don't know, get a soda or whatever. He's going to go to the convenience store, and he just passes out while walking down the stairs and breaks his neck, presumably. And as he's passing out, he's like, fuck, this is how I die, isn't it?
Oh my, so this is like, they're just like, shrug, you know what? Everyone knows this is unmotivated.
Oh, it was great. And so I thought, like, okay, this is promising more than the other shit I've been trying to watch. And then it just turns into generic, blurry story that I don't really remember anything about. It also flashes forward 10 years, which I guess is kind of good. That's the other good thing it did, is it didn't do the, like, oh, we have to learn all the rules and go through the, how did I get here? Oh my God, what am I doing here? What are my, we skipped all of that bullshit and just went 10 years in the future. And he really wants to go, because he realizes that he's in the Otome game. He's like, I want to go to the high school. I think it was called like Love Academy or whatever. It's like, I'm going to go to Love Academy, because that's the whole point of this world. He's an NPC, which is very funny. He's just like a background character. And so he wants to be part of the main game. And so his, I think, parents, it's really unclear. His guardian is like, you realize that that's expensive as shit. And I know that we're rich and live in a castle, but I'm just not paying for that. Like, all right, well, if money is the only thing preventing me from going to, like, Otome school, then I'll just go get my own tuition. And so because he played the game, he remembers you know, all the like secrets of the game, which I don't know how he remembers this 10 years later. Maybe he wrote it down. So he still remembers some of the cheat codes. And so he does like the, this is a reference for something I've never done. Like in Fallout, when you walk to the final area to get the best armor or whatever, he does the approximation of that. He goes to like the secret cave and gets the secret robot. He writes Rosebud in Roller Coaster Tycoon. No, that's The Sims. Sorry. He writes Rosebud in The Sims.
And that's, I totally get it. That's exactly how you play those games.
And he comes back with a shitload of gold, with a robot that will obey his every whim, and he buys his own island and then goes to school. The bit with the robot is kind of insufferable, because this robot, very chatty for a robot. Finally, he stabs the robot in the eye. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know what to tell you, Kyle. Nothing. I don't know what happened after that. He goes to the school, but like he notices that things are different from the game. Like the main character isn't the main character anymore, but all the dialogue is the same. Somebody, I think, is trying to poison him. There's evil smiles. And then
like basically they have a premise and then they more or less try to abandon it, except for the ways which are convenient for them to write themselves out of their contrived story.
Yeah, and where I left off, they were going to have a duel, presumably for the hand of somebody in marriage. I had given up by this point, mentally, emotionally, physically.
I'm not sad. I know that they still make good anime, but this does not sound like one.
I wanted
them,
to burn this to a DVD so I could throw it out my window, but I can't do that if it's digital. So I'm, you know, we need to get rid of digital so I can burn things again with fire, but also
on disc. Right.
So then I thought, okay, I need to try something else. I'm getting really agitated at this point, so I pick something with a cool cover, and I spent the entire episode thinking that I was watching the, what is it called, the strongest sage with the weakest crest. I thought that's what I clicked on.
Okay.
It was called The Dawn of the Witch. It is not the same show at all, and I was so confused by what was going on. Some guy's like in magic school, and then he's going to get expelled from being in magic school. He hooks up with Monica Rial, not in that sense. They start an adventuring party. But he starts an adventuring party with Monica Rial and a guy with like a tiger's face or whatever. Monica Rial has a staff that will kill you if you're a witch. That seems to be not a great thing to carry around if you are also a witch yourself, but it doesn't count when she touches it. I don't know. They became friends with a woman that has gravity-defying breasts. It was really distracting because they were very, very large, but did not move at all. And it was just like, who drew this? What are we doing? Or who didn't animate this?
Right.
I thought, wow, I must have watched this. This has to be the sequel of something, right? But it's called The Dawn of the Witch. It's not called The Dawn of the Witch 2 or Dawn of the Witch ! But it is the sequel to something. I found out.
Grimoire of Zero, says.
It's the sequel to Grimoire of Zero, which I thought partway through it, because they're like, we should go find out about the Grimoire of Zero. I'm like, that sure is a weird coincidence, because that's a show that I've heard of. I wonder why they said that. I sure hope this isn't the sequel to that. I've learned recently that it's probably not pronounced Grimoire, Grimoire of Zero. Gonna give that one a pass for now, because maybe in the context of Grimoire of Zero, it's better. I spent 20 minutes confused. Not that I wouldn't have done that anyway, but that one was at least, it like looked better. Of everything I watched, that one looked the best. Like it had the best like character.
That makes sense, right? I mean, if it's a sequel to a, I'm going to put a question mark into this, popular series, Grimoire of Zero, you would, you know, that makes sense, right? They would give that a higher budget.
Yeah, they wouldn't make another one if it wasn't popular, probably. There was a really funny moment that I don't know the payoff to, but Monica Rial, her character, she's like, I want to meet the person that wrote the Grimoire. They're like, all right, we can arrange that, but you might not recognize them. I thought, this is... What's going on? Is this person dead? Are they buried? Are they encased in stone now? Why aren't we going to recognize this witch? But I don't know, because I didn't watch it, and I didn't watch the original. There's also a lot of weird, like... Imagine, if you will, what it's like to look at someone's butt from the front.
No, I was going to actually call that out on this art here. On the cover, on Wikipedia, very clearly, her dress is open and, like, in a way which everything is visible, and you can very clearly see the ass cheeks through the gap.
It is some of the most creative fan service, because when they first introduced her, they did, like, a from the ground upwards angle shot, and you could, like, see part of her butt. I'm like, how is this possible? What is happening? And then later on, they do, like, a shot of her, like, spread legs. It's not a sexual scene. They're just having coffee. But that's the focus of that shot for some reason. So it might still be bad. It might also be awesome. I don't know. It depends on how you feel about Monica Rial.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, so we've made it through most of an episode. This is probably one of the more unhinged things we've done in a while.
That's good, because I watched one good thing, and then you watched the rest.
We were going to talk about the latest discourse, which I know everybody's excited about, but that's going to have to wait until next time. It's also something that we kind of have talked about a bunch. There was a person that tweeted saying, this is where we all started watching anime, and they posted a picture of Kiss Anime, Go-Go Anime, Something I Don't Recognize, and YouTube. And as you would imagine, the internet was on fire. Because kind of if you're older than like 20, you probably grew up with better options.
You probably had there was definitely less variety.
Yes.
In this, but there was definitely better options in terms of.
I wonder when Kiss Anime came out. I wonder how easy it would be to find that information. I remember when they went, when they finally got shut down. They were launched in 2012. Wow. That is much later than I thought. And they went defunct in 2020. That's more.
And I guess it kind of makes sense, right? Because a lot of these, you know, like Crunchyroll is like the first streamer, not the first, but you know what I mean? Like they're one of the first major streamers. Like it wasn't really.
Yeah.
As doable back then.
Yeah, well, and I think Crunchyroll is either 2008 or 2009. I forget exactly, and I'm talking slowly so I can stall while we get to the part where I play the music, and that's now.
Well done, JP. You made it all the way.
Frustrating podcast to listen to. I cannot imagine how you put up with this. This, the Gonzo.moe No Name Anime Show podcast show, the 70th thing in our feed.
Call us to tell us why you put up with us.
Yeah.
Give them that phone number, JP.
That phone number, 716-46-MOE-43. Do I still pay the bill? I'm not sure. I owe Netflix money. 716-466-6343. If you want to see all 70 things, you got to go to the website, because the iTunes, that's dead. The pod feed only does the last 50. So you can find that on Google Podcasts. You can find that on Spotify. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, because iTunes isn't real unless you have an old Mac and haven't updated your app. You can also follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handles are in the show notes, which can be found at gonzo.moe, which is also where you find our other podcast, The News Broom, which we do every week and we talk about news. That's where the show notes are actually helpful, because I post links. Anyway, thank you so much for joining me, Kyle. We've got about 20 seconds. Do you have anything you want to shout to the world?
I'm sorry that you are going to be dealing with more Yashahime folks, and by which I mean you're welcome.
I think they love Yashahime like they love, I don't know, a wet washcloth. I don't know what that means. Goodbye, everybody. I'm sorry.
Bye. No, I'm not sorry.
Sometimes I wonder why people tolerate me.
It's okay.
That's actually a daily thought. That's why I'm on medication.